Peter had dropped off to sleep, and Mr. Van Dan and I were lying on the floor when we heard loud footsteps below. I got up quietly. "It's Jan." "No, no, it's the police," they all said. There was a knocking at our bookcase. Meep whistled. This was too much for Mrs. Van Dan, who sank limply in her chair, white as a sheet. If the tension had lasted another minute, she would have fainted. Jan and Meep came in and were met with a delightful scene. The table alone would have been worth a photograph. A copy of Cinema and Theater, open to a page of dancing girls and smeared with jam and pectin, which we'd been taking to combat the diarrhea. Two jam jars, half a bread roll, a quarter of a bread roll, pectin, a mirror, a comb, matches, ashes, cigarettes, tobacco, an ashtray, books, a pair of underpants, a flashlight, Mrs. Van Dan's comb, toilet paper, etc. Jan and Meep were, of course, greeted with shouts and tears. Jan nailed a pinewood board over the gap in the door and went off again with Meep to inform the police of the break-in. Meep had also found a note under the warehouse door from Slagers, the night watchman, who had noticed the hole and alerted the police. Jan was also planning to see Slagers. So we had half an hour in which to put the house and ourselves to rights. I've never seen such a transformation as in those 30 minutes. Margot and I got the beds ready downstairs, went to the bathroom, brushed our teeth, washed our hands, and combed our hair. Then I straightened up the room a bit and went back upstairs. The table had already been cleared, so we got some water, made coffee and tea, boiled the milk, and set the table. Father and Peter emptied our improvised potties and rinsed them with warm water and powdered bleach. The largest one was filled to the brim and was so heavy they had a hard time lifting it. To make things worse, it was leaking, so they had to put it in a bucket. At 11 o'clock, Jan was back and joined us at the table, and gradually everyone began to relax. Jan had the following story to tell. Mr. Slagers was asleep, but his wife told Jan that her husband had discovered the hole in the door while making his rounds. He called in a policeman, and the two of them searched the building. Mr. Slagers, in his capacity as night watchman, patrols the area every night on his bike, accompanied by his two dogs. His wife said that he would come on Tuesday and tell Mr. Kugler the rest. No one at the police station seemed to know anything about the break-in, but they made a note to come first thing Tuesday morning to have a look. On the way back, Jan happened to run into Mr. Van Hoven, the man who supplies us with potatoes, and told him of the break-in. "I know," Mr. Van Hoven calmly replied. "Last night when my wife and I were walking past your building, I saw a gap in the door. My wife wanted to walk on, but I peeked inside with a flashlight. And that's when the burglars must have run off. To be on the safe side, I didn't call the police. I thought it wouldn't be wise in your case. I don't know anything, but I have my suspicions." Jan thanked him and went on. Mr. Van Hoven obviously suspects we're here, because he always delivers the potatoes at lunchtime. A decent man. It was 1 o'clock by the time Jan left, and we'd done the dishes. All eight of us went to bed. I woke up at 2:45 and saw that Mr. Dussel was already up. My face rumpled with sleep, I happened to run into Peter in the bathroom just after he'd come downstairs. We agreed to meet in the office. I freshened up a bit and went down. "After all this, do you still dare go to the front attic?" he asked. I nodded, grabbed my pillow, with a cloth wrapped around it, and we went up together. The weather was gorgeous, and even though the air raid sirens soon began to wail, we stayed where we were. Peter put his arm around my shoulder. I put mine around his, and we sat quietly like this until 4 o'clock, when Margot came to get us for coffee. We ate our bread, drank our lemonade, and joked. We were finally able to again, and for the rest, everything was back to normal. That evening, I thanked Peter because he'd been the bravest of us all. None of us have ever been in such danger as we were that night. God was truly watching over us. Just think. The police were right at the bookcase. The light was on, and still no one had discovered our hiding place. "Now we're done for," I'd whispered at that moment. But once again, we were spared. When the invasion comes and the bombs start falling, it'll be every man for himself. But this time, we feared for those good, innocent Christians who are helping us. "We've been saved. Keep on saving us. That's all we can say." This incident has brought about a whole lot of changes. As of now, Dussel will be doing his work in the bathroom, and Peter will be patrolling the house between 8:30 and 9:30. Peter isn't allowed to open his window anymore, since one of the keg people noticed it was open. We can no longer flush the toilet after 9:30 at night. Mr. Slagers has been hired as night watchman. And tonight, a carpenter from the underground is coming to make a barricade out of our white Frankfurt bedsteads. Debates are going on left and right in the annex. Mr. Kugler has reproached us for our carelessness. Jan also said we should never go downstairs. What we have to do now is find out whether Slagers can be trusted, whether the dogs will bark if they hear someone behind the door, how to make the barricade, all sorts of things. We've been strongly reminded of the fact that we're Jews in chains, chained to one spot, without any rights, but with 1,000 obligations. We must put our feelings aside. We must be brave and strong, bear discomfort without complaint, do whatever is in our power, and trust in God. One day this terrible war will be over. The time will come when we'll be people again and not just Jews. Who has inflicted this on us? Who has set us apart from all the rest? Who has put us through such suffering? It's God who has made us the way we are, but it's also God who will lift us up again. In the eyes of the world, we're doomed. But if, after all this suffering, there are still Jews left, the Jewish people will be held up as an example. Who knows? Maybe our religion will teach the world and all the people in it about goodness, and that's the reason, the only reason, we have to suffer. We can never be just Dutch, or just English, or whatever. We will always be Jews as well, and we'll have to keep on being Jews, but then we'll want to be. Be brave. Let's remember our duty and perform it without complaint. There will be a way out. God has never deserted our people. Through the ages, Jews have had to suffer, but through the ages, they've gone on living, and the centuries of suffering have only made them stronger. The weak shall fall, and the strong shall survive and not be defeated. That night, I really thought I was going to die. I waited for the police, and I was ready for death, like a soldier on a battlefield. I'd gladly have given my life for my country. But now that I've been spared, my first wish after the war is to become a Dutch citizen. I love the Dutch. I love this country. I love the language, and I want to work here. And even if I have to write to the Queen herself, I won't give up until I've reached my goal.